Hey everyone, y'all know who it is, and y'all know definitely what time it is. It's your favorite boy, Prima Donna, Roman, Robin, you can call me whatever you want. Alright, so we're just gonna jump in real quick today. I got my friends, Shannon and Shane, is gonna quit me for a quick session today. We have so much to talk about that we want to get through real quick. We just want to touch on some updates from the Real Housewives of Potomac. Also, we want to touch on Megan Thee Stallion as well as Tory Lanez. There were some updates as it regards to that. And also, we just want to get into some serious shit today. Today we're going to talk about depression and how that's been affecting you during the pandemic, both in the relationship as well as your career. So much to talk about, you know, let's get into it.
Hey, Sam.
Hey.
Again.
Who we waiting on now? Again.
Who you think?
Oh, Lord. Well, he's here now.
What are you talking about me? Do not let me smack you both.
Here, yeah. Here, yeah.
Now let me check y'all.
You coming strong?
Yeah. I'm coming. Government strong. Incoming strong, government strong.
strong.
A government strong incoming, government strong. You know, government coming strong all the while. Get on. All right, guys. Robin, what's going on?
Yeah, so, you know, we just have a couple things in one, you know, just dish about today.
When I chop it up, I chop it up today.
We're dishing.
I'm so used to you saying that, I don't even fucking remember you saying anything else. But you know, when I chop it up today, what are we gonna do? When I chop it up today,
you know what's so funny? I actually say a lot.
For real. Like it was not just say it now, because that's what I expected you to say.
Yeah. Yes, friend, we're gonna chop it. We're gonna chop it right up.
Wow.
So, I don't know if our audience have heard, but yes, a little tea came out in regards to Tory Lanez. So we have some updates on the Tory Lanez and Meg's situation. So according to LA Times, Tory Lanez apologized to Megan Thee Stallion over text after he allegedly shot her outside a Hollywood Hills mansion a couple weeks ago. He claimed he got too drunk in messages sent to Meg after the incident. We actually got just some snippets of the text. So the text reads, "I know you're probably never gonna talk to me again, but I genuinely want you to know I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart. It should have never happened, and I can't change what I did. I just feel horrible." So, just to give the look of backstory, Shannon, whatever detail I miss out, they can just chime in. So,
well, it's not allegedly that much I can say. It was confirmed that he shot her. And also,
it was the official police statement indicating that he was the one who shot her.
Really, Robin? After the victim came out and said no, there's no police report because she did not go.
Okay, but even
but hold on, it's not allegedly. If the victim comes and said you did this to me, then this we confirmed it from the victim. It's coming from the horse's mouth that you did it.
At the end of the day,
victims are not always correct and honest.
I'm sorry.
Well, I like people to come out and say, we'd like to believe that victims in a shooting situation would be honest, if that's the case.
If people that are getting raped are not being honest, I don't see the point of that either, so sure.
I don't know. I feel like you're defending people.
I'm not defending, but at the end of the day, you know, it
I get what he's saying. I do get what he's saying. I'm just saying that if the victim is going to come out and say, guess what, this is what it is, I it's not alleged if it's coming from, it's directly from the victim. Basically, listen, this is what I'm saying. How I look at things is I allow you to say what you have to say until proven otherwise. So if you come out and say, guess what, he hit me or he shot me or whatever, I will believe you. I'm not going to throw you under the bus and say, oh, I don't believe you because you're a woman.
You know what, Shannon? I feel like you're just so adamant that you're going to hate Tory Lanez for this situation.
The hell? Why would I hate Tory Lanez?
Because, I mean, you were... No, but you are just on this whole athletic situation. Listen, I totally agree. I believe Meg. But at the end of the day, we still don't know what happened. Like, we weren't, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, it is still his word against her until there was a report, police report, stating that this is the situation that happened. So until that is released, at the end of the day, it's still allegedly. Facts are facts.
What were you saying, Shane? Because you both were going at the same time.
Robin made a point.
Hold on.
I agree with Robin's point. That's all. Alleged until otherwise proven.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with saying allegedly. Once it's coming from the victim, I am going to believe what the victim has to say. That's my point. That's all I'm saying, and I'm standing on that.
Yeah, that is your opinion.
Ten toes and a feet on the ground. And listen, but hold on. I never said I wanted anybody to be on my side or say this is what I want. No, I'm telling you that's what I believe, and that's what I'm going to stick with. Until proven otherwise. Nope. Yes, I agree with you. It's just said in a different context.
To do anything other than what you're doing. All I'm going to say is, bitch, me can't take no defamation suit right now, so I'm going to just stick with that.
I won't go do that to me. I won't go do that to
me. I'm just stating facts, girl.
And who would want to do that to you?
Who you mean? Who would want to do that to me? At the end...
That's what I just asked.
It doesn't matter who would want to do it to me, friend. You do not know. So if anything that I am reporting on or choose to bring light on, I'm going to stick with the allegedly just to protect myself regardless.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Can't just go around saying shit says, especially on a public forum.
Well, I'm standing on my 2 feet and I'm saying what I'm saying.
Okay. Nobody
I said
not
what I said and I meant.
Oh my God, but I feel like you guys want me to change my mind and that's not gonna happen. What I'm being a rubbish today and that's fine. What? Am I not able to do that?
What's wrong with you, girl? Nobody's trying to make you change your mind. What the fuck, dog?
I feel like you guys are pressuring me to do that. That's how I feel. No, I'm not able to feel how I feel anymore either. What the fuck?
Shut the hell up, because you and Robin attack me all the time about understanding and empathetic.
But that's what I said. What I said. I'm being a Robin today. Listen. I'm being a Robin today. Why am I not able to be a Robin today? Why?
Okay, Shannon. I'm gonna have time to deal with you and your feelings right
now. That's all right.
Isn't it? And own it.
He's delusional.
Oh my God.
Right? Be the Lisa Rinna. Own it.
Bitch, bath.
Ignore his delusional ass. Just move on.
But listen, back to the situation at hand, guys. Back to the situation at hand. Right? I mean, what does this mean for the relationship between Meg and Tori? Because
don't in my opinion, don't say this. really, Robin, what this means for the relationship, if it was reversed and Megan was the one who shot Tory Lane, would you be asking this question? Be
absolutely.
Honest. Would you be
absolutely
asking? I don't think
absolutely.
I do not think you would be. I don't understand why people always think that women need to be subsidized their feelings and whatever they're doing to make it okay for men. Why?
Bitch, calm the fuck down.
I'm very much calm. I don't like the questions you're asking. I feel like you are trying to steer a narrative to people not to be thinking negative about Meg. I don't like it.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You haven't even allowed me to continue to say what I was trying to say.
Go ahead.
By me saying, okay, go ahead. What does this mean for the particular relationship between these two people now? Because reading that particular text saying that, I know you're probably never going to talk to me again, but I genuinely want you to know I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart. It should have never happened, and I can't change what I did. I just feel horrible. So right there and then, he's definitely admitting to something, right? And I feel like this is just so PR written, because this particular text was sent to TMZ. How did they get this particular text? Because I don't feel like Meg would be the type of person that would have sent this particular text to TMZ. So I feel like someone from his camp definitely, like, I would say coached him into sending the text, and then went ahead and sent it over to TMZ to kind of like make him or put him in a better light, or to seem remorseful in the whole situation. So he is, yes, admitting his guilt, but at the same time, I feel like it's disingenuous. And I'm like wondering, like, will Megan see through that, or would she just like accept the apology? That's literally what I was continuing on to, you know, say what I need to say out of my mind. But you with your enough umpy self just jump down my throat, girl. But the where
that's why I'm gonna do that.
Of course, no gag.
Of course.
Right. So,
all right, you nasty asses. Can you come back and be normal? Gather yourself.
Gather yourself.
But you get where I'm coming from with this, right? You see where I'm going with this?
I do.
So, like, yeah, it's okay, fine. He apologized, but I don't see it as being a genuine apology.
Apology.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is right. I don't see it that way either. I think he's just, as he said in the text, he was really drunk. Mm-hmm. And at this point, nothing that he, because basically what they said is that text was sent 2 days after the incident mm-hmm. happened. So what I presume is that maybe he had a lapse in judgment, and he was like, shit, I can't believe I just did that. Because sometimes when you're drunk, you really and truly don't know what is going on around you or what you are doing or capable of doing. And so when you come out of shock is when you realize that, I just really and truly did that. So, to me, he was basically sincere.
Are you trying to be on Tori's side right now? Because that wasn't the energy I was getting.
I cannot please you. Why can I not please you guys tonight? What's the problem?
Because you were...
If I'm...
No.
Do not mix me in this. Do not mix me in this.
Shane. Yes. Was he not literally 2 minutes ago?
Child, do not mix me in y'all conversation. You know me already. I stay out of y'all's mess. See, mess.
Girl, you are a part of the mess right here. So, you know, yeah, I'm going to be a part of it.
You guys are Giselle and Robin from Potomac. I just don't step into y'all.
Oh my God.
Stay over there. Stay over there.
You know what? You know, them because they're actually next.
Yes, please. Go ahead. As Shane started already. Go
right,
ahead.
Right. So Shane.
Because I'm waiting for
Shane.
Where are you right now on Potomac?
I'm in season 3 still. I have a life.
You're in season 3.
Oh, wow. So hold on. We don't. Robin, you don't have a life?
I plead the fifth.
I hear you. Go ahead, Robin.
Anyways, so Shane, is that that's the season where Monique comes in?
No, Monique came in from 2. This is where they go to France.
Oh, right. Yo, them treat Monique horrible this season, they know. Particularly Giselle. But, all right, so let's fast forward to what's going on right now. And not to, like, spoil anything for you, Shane, but...
You can spoil
it. I realize with the franchises, it's like this thing, Shannon, where everyone films and confessionals and everything. And then when the episodes begin to air, that's when you start to see them coming out, doing interviews, started interacting with people on social media like Instagram, Twitter. You mostly see them start doing live tweets during episodes. So like shady shit is being done. Like you start to like interaction being done on Twitter. And I feel like that kind of hypes up the momentum of the show to also keep people interested so that when the reunion comes, then that shit is bound to be explosive. Right? So over the past couple of weeks since the premiere of Potomac, we've already done say shit a go down between Monique and Candace. So now we're basically seeing the journey towards that, right? So this upcoming episode that's going to be airing Sunday is where we're going to see what really happened with that fight between Monique and Candace. And it's weird because they're saying that this is literally a plot to take down Monique. Now, I don't know if we've talked about it, but there has been lives that they've been doing, you know, trying to expose certain plots and why certain plots were not brought or highlighted on the show. And I feel like because certain situations were not being dealt with on the show, the girls are trying to take the opportunity to kind of like bring it on social media, which I feel is like foul than doing on the show. If you understand, remember when I talked about the cheating situation?
Yes.
Some of my son them can't talk about it on the show, you know. But no, them talk about it on lives because Candace expose the entire plot when it's like a plan for down Monique, right? Giselle,
right?
Say it's not true, but and basically exposing her as well. Say, yo, this shit happened. Like, y'all try to take down Monique, and at this point, me don't really know who feel like really and truly. Because
honestly, Robin, not to cut you, but I miss Charisse. Charisse was, in my mind, Charisse over Grand Dame. She literally was the most graceful person out of all of those women.
Charisse, I like her, yes, but she's foul. She's foul bitch.
As bad as they say, Giselle does not lie. Giselle is foul. And then she has her little minion, which is Robin, because she loves to gas up Robin to want to fight a bitch and then watch everything blow up in the faces. Firestarter, no better. Who else was left? And Candace is a pampered ass princess. And she is like me. When she gets pissed, she's
as much. Hold on, I'll name a mention Monique. I don't even mention money, no, because money, as
money,
much as
Monique is a fighter, Monique doesn't have to go to fight these. Monique is an actual scrappy fighter, like what he did.
No, but what I get from money. This is what I get from money. I feel like Monique is kind of phony. And the reason why I say it is because, Shannon, you know, you have them people who always try to have this facade of being perfect, but you know, say deep down, not really did it. Them not really all that. It's like them really have some flawed shit. That's what I get. That's what I get.
It for her to overcompensate. The fact she doesn't come. Like she's trying to do all these shit, she overcompensates. That's her problem. That is definitely Monique's problem.
And she's a control freak.
She doesn't come from money like the rest of the girls. She wasn't a pampered, you know, debutante like all the other girls. Because Ashley was, what? Ashley went to pageant. So did Candace. Giselle was raised. Was dragged up because they literally dragged her up by her bootstraps and be like, okay, girl, we're gonna show you how to do this. She didn't have all that. So she has to overcompensate. All the other girls had some form of hand holding and leading. She didn't have none of that.
Ashley is kind of trash though.
She knows how to behave. This girl is just a literal fire starter. Because if you did pageants like you said you did, you know how to behave and when to behave. She just wants to be trash. She knows.
But listen, you can take the pig out of the sty.
Out of the pig sty, but you cannot take the sty out of the pig.
Exactly.
You're saying Karen is pig. Karen literally grew up on a farm. Okay.
No, that's not what we're saying. That's not it.
A farm girl.
Honey.
That's what you're telling me.
No, she's a nasty ass bitch.
No, but that farm wasn't just a regular farm, sis. That was and as she said, it's not the type of farm where everybody just go and just raise chicken and raise plants and all that shit.
Her mother did most work. She didn't do shit. And her mother took money. She didn't work. She didn't do that. No, she didn't.
Wow.
Right? So it's not like she grew papa. No, she never grew papa, girl.
I never said she grew up a pauper. I said she grew up on a farm. Like they mentioning every season. Don't forget she came from a farm.
She's a very privileged woman.
But what a big deal of growing up on a farm? What does that do for you? What happened when I grew up on a farm?
This is what they're trying to do. Stature. What they're trying to
do. You are going at once. One at a time.
Because Katie grew up being, you know, privileged. So did Giselle. Even no privilege, but they grew up being these proper young ladies in society that had to go to all these galas and balls and pageants and those shit. They grew up in the lifestyles. Karen didn't. Karen was dragged up, so they never want her to forget. You came from a farm. Don't think you come from our lives. You came from a farm.
Oh, wow.
They tried to come for Karen all the time, but you know what? Karen is the grand dame.
Here's the thing. He said it. Giselle was the one who bestowed that on her. I was like, Giselle. From Giselle came back from Baltimore. Giselle behaved like a lady. So I would love to see Giselle before she left this vegan place. Where is Giselle?
Giselle needs to fix her taste because her taste is distasteful.
Did she have any? More like salt without pepper.
Tacky.
Low blow, guys. Low blow.
She's tacky.
Robin to clean up. Because she can't fight. So she loves to throw that little acid and then she know Robin's going to back her. So she has her little bodyguard.
That's what Robin is. The linebacker.
Ride or die for Cherise, Monique, or Giselle. She is a ride or die. I must give her that. Or Cherise or Giselle, she'll literally kill you.
So yeah, so that's it, guys. You know, we definitely want to keep up, you know, watching. It's very entertaining, Shannon. You need to get into it. New episode is coming up on Bravo. That's this Sunday night at 8. So y'all need to get into it. So we want to move on to our next topic. See if we can get through this real quick. Guys, so we're still in the pandemic. And every time I suppose I'm a host and me I go out work, I'm just say, is that, is this the new thing? Is this what our life is going to be? Where we have to distance ourselves from people and everybody is in a mask. Like, you know, so for me personally, Shannon, like, militarily, even though you can't hear people through the mask, like, me just feel like some of death. Like, because with me, I feel see, me have to, like, my seeing, my sight, and my hearing work together. So it's like, if one of them is, like, blocked, it's like, me not have none of them. So, like, I might hear you, but me just, for some reason, I, like, really, really hear it, as opposed to, like, seeing your mouth moving and hear the words, and then you just formulate everything in my brain, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
You know what I mean? And so, this period, for so many, has been a very rough time. And I don't know if anybody can relate, but bitch, I went through it during the pandemic and I'm still going through it. You know what I mean? And
I'm going through what exactly?
What I'm going through? So I lost my job during the pandemic. I lost my job in May of this year. And that was like earth-shattering for me, because it's like I've been consistently employed for over 6 years, and you know, even though I was working towards resigning and moving on, I wasn't like there yet. You know what I mean? So I wasn't like prepared. So for me, that really like put me in like the lowest lows, and I mean, I went through it, bitch. Like, there were days where the depression was so real, it's like I wouldn't get up out of my bed for days. Like, when I literally just have my phone right beside of me, and all I would be doing is just like praying to God. Like, honestly, and I feel like even though I went through some deep and dark depression, I feel like during that moment, I kind of started talking to God more and just being more hopeful and resilient in a sense. What I'm trying to say is, it's like, even though you go through things, and I'm speaking for now because this pandemic has stopped or put a pause on a lot of things happening for a lot of people. And some people have been going through it. I mean, I read the story the other day, Shannon, where this woman literally teeth, like literally two packets of Lasco. Lasco, you know, fair pity. Because she never had the money.
I remember. That was sad, though.
You know what I mean? So,
and then they called the police on her, and there was a whole scene. They videoed everything and put it up on social media. It was sad.
Yeah. Like, I've always kind of, like, had depression issues before. And I feel like being unemployed kind of exasperated it exponentially. Because all I can think about during that moment was, where am I going to do, where am I going to go from here? And like, what is the next step? And all I'm thinking about is, fuck, like, my money is running out and I'm still unemployed. What am I going to do? And those were issues that were going through my mind constantly, 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 constantly. And even though people will tell you, oh, it's gonna get better and whatever. It's like, but I wanted to get better. No, it's not happening. No. So sometimes me have to tell myself constantly, you know, once you have life, you gotta make it to the end of the day, regardless of anything. You have to just take it one day at a time. The next day have to come once you have life, the next day have to come, and the next day is another opportunity to push forward and continue life. Because once you see the next day, and that means say move forward, you know, even though it doesn't seem like you're moving forward, you're actually moving forward. And things are eventually going to change. Right now, I am now employed. Thank God for that. You know, my work, I feel productive. And I finally feel hopeful, say, I will be able to turn shit around. Now, I was able to survive that depression because I couldn't go deep down and probably not come out. But it was through support, especially from you guys, as well as from like my family, like my mom, and like really talking to God and just like venting some of those issues that I had for a very, very long time. And because it made that I was not home quarantining, kind of like bring them up again and kind of force me to like face them. So I kind of needed that. I needed that moment to be humbled and to like mature more and to have like a different mindset and a different point of view. And I'm just grateful to be here right now. What say you, Shannon?
I am happy for you. I remember days when you were calling me freaking the fuck out and being like, oh my God, Shannon, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm gonna go insane. I don't know how to handle the situation. I feel like I'm going to go broke. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be
meltdowns.
I was like, girl, half the time you called me, I was at work. I didn't know what to say to you. I was like, and I'm gonna be honest with you, half the time when you call me and I give you advice, I have to call Shane and Shane give me advice because I don't know what to do. I'm being honest with you. Like, I feel like I don't, like, this is how I feel sometimes. I feel like I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. It's very hard to do that. And if you don't have somebody strong in your corner, as you said, to help you to get out of your depression when you're in there, yeah, it feels like you're gonna get stuck in there. And I've always hated feeling that way.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's only a few people who I can call and say, listen, may I go through this? I'm really need advice. Tell me what to do, else me just lose my brain. Like,
I know, I'm a real Shannon. People who has been through it are more equipped to like give you some really good advice.
Yes. I did not know about depression until like I was an adult, literally. I used to be depressed and didn't even know that it was depression. That's how the family, the type of family I grew up in, it was not mentioned. It was not discussed. If you were going through a depression, I don't even know if my mother ever go through depression. I don't know if my sisters have ever went through depression. Like, that's how we do not talk about stuff like that. Like, I used to I remember one time I was talking to my cousin and she was like, that at that time she was going to college and we were having a simple conversation and she was like, listen, I'm telling you, the hardest time in my life was when I was doing my CXC subjects. And I'm telling you now, that girl has like 12 CSC subjects. 12. And she said that was the hardest time. And that's how she went through a whole depression throughout that time. And the only person that could help her was her mother to get out. And that's when I really know and I've ever heard anybody really and truly talk about depression openly in front of me. I did not even know what depression had. I had literally after that conversation, I had to go Google what the word fucking depression is. That's how naive I was to the entire conversation and the entire situation of depression. I did not know nothing until I met you guys, and then we started having open discussions. We started having dialogue about what depression is, how do you feel, what you expect, how you feel, how depression comes on, stuff like that. I did not know anything about. I was so fucking naive to stuff like that, like really and truly. I was like, literally, you need to be tough. You are a man. You need to be a man, and you need to be strong. Like, when I realized that, all of that shit was fucked up. Because that did not make me into the person I really and truly could have been today. That all that did was just fuck me up.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
The first thing I do is go out and I fucking cry. And I don't know why I do that. I just think that because I'm a Leo, and Leos are so fucking emotional. Like, if you do me something right now, Robin, I'm just feel like you do me wrong, I'm just go wow. That's my first go-to.
Let me crying. As much as I hate to do it, it feels good.
It makes you feel so fucking good, and it makes you feel better about yourself.
Oh my gosh, like, it's like, let me tell you, I'm not the crying type. So when I cry, bitch, best believe, I'm letting go of years of like pent shit. It's like, I would literally be there crying for like minutes, like maybe like 10, 20 minutes just straight crying, because I'm like pouring, like, it's like my body just, my spirit just can't take it no more. Because I'm gonna tell you, it's in a good place mentally. It's like you don't think about, but you see, once you slip, depressed state, all of the issues that you probably were pushing down or putting to the back because they were no longer relevant to you,
right, starts comes up. I know,
comes right back, and like in full force.
Right, I agree. I totally agree. What say you, Shane?
Lord, that is a very touchy subject for me, because I'm not, y'all know me, I'm the one that will behave like I'm the strongest bitch on earth. I don't like sharing shit. It's only when I get like overwhelmed, I'll call y'all, and you know this, and be like, okay, this is just making me lose my fucking mind, and I'm gonna kill somebody, because I'm very violent. When my cup runs
and listen, I'm not cutting you, Shane, but literally, I had to force Shane to share something with us today, guys. Literally. Force.
No, honestly, when my cup runneth over, I will kill a bitch and watch them bleed and laugh. I'm that mental. So I try to keep my emotions and my anxiety and my depression.
Point of no bothering me. Like, you're so darkly. You're so dark. Like,
I really am. Honestly, I can be like twisted, where to the point, as I told you yesterday, I was walking and I nearly pushed a woman in the street just for the fun of it. There are times when my brain, like,
you know what, the blood of Jesus.
I know. The thing is, you need to understand. The thing is,
get to the point. What are you trying to say?
I'm looking at path. So you see, the certain things in my brain are not working just like a regular person should. And my depression or my anger grew up to a bigger point. I tend to do things that are not rational. So I have to keep myself in check 24/7. Hence why I don't like to like openly talk about shit, because then like thinking about it and it's gonna reminisce. So I try to like suffocate it necessarily. Hence why, you know me, I love to keep busy, because when I'm busy, I don't have time to think. I don't have time to slow down. Be like, okay, this is happening in my life. I feel blah blah blah. Okay, I need to do this because this needs to be done tomorrow. Da, 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 da. That's me. That's my coping mechanism for depression and my anxiety. Everything that is wrong with me, that's why I just keep busy.
My sister always told me, and I've always said this to Shane, the day you stop working, the day you stop moving, the day you stop doing what you're doing is the day you're going to die. I always tell Shane that, because this is always his way of coping with things. And I always tell him, you need to find a different way, because the day you stop, your body shuts down and stops. Say, all right, I'm tired now, but not going to further. Is the day you're going to die. Because you need to find a different way to cope with certain things.
You know what's so funny for me? Is I just allow myself to just go through the moment, you know? And I feel like that's how I'm able to survive and come back like an even stronger person, because it's like every time I go through shit, it's like a metamorphosis. You know what I mean?
That's lucky for you, because I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. So my way of coping with shit was just not to ignore it on a whole.
Listen.
Right.
And we all, everybody on this podcast right now has grown up in a dysfunctional family. Point blank.
Girl, did your mother just your father in half? No. Did your mother ever, while you were supposed to do an exam, to tell you that she almost killed your father? No. My house is very dysfunctional. Y'all lucky I'm what normalized people would see.
I mean, that's some deep shit. Some deep shit change. Like, I was taken aback. I was...
Yeah, that was the house I grew up in. Halfway through going through an exam, they're going to call me, oh, your cousin died. I'm like... Couldn't you wait until I done my exam? I didn't even do the exam. I literally just circled a couple shit and walked out the exam.
This was information I was not prepared for. Like, at the first y'all tell me this.
I don't like the
shit. That's what I said. Shannon doesn't share. I had to force it out of him. This is what I keep telling people. Shane is not a sharer. Shane is a person to listen. Shane is a listener, not a sharer. So if you get a good point, or you get him really mad and he call you, you just need to listen to what I'm saying, because literally in just one vent. And I agree, when you have a person that's a listener and all they do when they need you, you can't be there for them, then girl, that's bad. You at least need to be there for them, just like how they are going to be there for you, to allow that's them right. to vent to you.
That's right.
Anyways, Robin, we're out of time.
I realize.
Okay. And you know Shane is always booked and busy.
I have a party to go to.
Oh,
so
don't envy you.
What?
Girl, anyways, girl. You know what?
Shane, what did you say? You booked out this week?
Next week, yep. Till next week.
Oh wow. I wish I could be saying that.
I don't
feel no kind of way.
As you know,
I go back to work tomorrow.
You know this. I try to keep busy, because the minute I stop is like everything is, as I said.
Right.
Book myself and stress my ass out and sleep for a couple of days and I'm back again.
Girl, ain't nobody wanna hear about your goddamn booked weekend, says. Okay, we get it.
Anyways,
Shane.
Don't be jealous.
I'm really not. Wait. Do you want to leave us on a good note? Lead us out on a good note? Say.
I always want to. You know, love, light, support. And if you have good friends will carry you through anything as long as you pray. And, you know, I learned something. I keep learning things from people. you're not alone on this earth. So for you to learn stuff, you need to ask questions. And if you ask questions, you learn stuff. Don't feel like asking a question is going to get you bullied or nobody's going to want to help you. People always want to help you if you ask questions. It's very, very easy. Ask a question, you get an answer. It's either they're going to help you or they're not going to help you. And basically, if one somebody don't want to help you, one next one will find. Find somebody to help you. That's
yep,
it.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. All right, Shane, you want to leave us with anything quick? Just a couple seconds, 30 seconds.
Find different means to cope with your stress. That's all I can say. Don't be me.
And you, Robin.
Well, you know what? Just find an outlet. You know, do something that inspires you, make you feel amazing. And, you know, just to help distract you and help you cope. You can do it. Life goes on, and as long as you're alive, trust me, you're gonna make it.
And good friends.
All right,
praise the Lord.
Thanks for kicking it with us as we chop it up. Catch you all on the next one. Bye, Shannon. Bye, Shane.
Bye. Love you. Hey, love you.